And I think we are live. Hi, Yanni, how are you doing?
Excellent, excellent. Doing very well, thank you.
So that was a wonderful presentation. I first want to commend you on your ability to both do the how the user encounters the MMS, how the developer might be interested about how it works. And I feel like you've done a wonderful job of talking to absolutely everyone in our audience, whatever their skill level. So thank you so much for this.
Yeah, that of course runs the risk of being good for some but excellent for none. But hopefully the result is that people can get something out of it. I think it's very important to make sure that everyone feels that they have access to Emacs, they have access to MMS, that they can do this to in whatever capacity they want. It's for everyone. I really believe that.
Yeah, and I understand this risk about having a talk that is kind of jack of all trades, but frankly, you've done a wonderful job of making it interesting for everyone. Because also, I think the parts worked really well, and people always had something to look forward in terms of their expertise of what particularly spoke to them. So thank you again. What I'm going to do, we have about 14 minutes of Q&A, so I'll invite people, as I usually do, to add their questions in the other pad that you can find on the talks or on IRC. You can also join us with in a discussion. I will make sure this time to ping Sasha to open the Q&A. Can you open IDEMMS? All right. And in the meantime, whilst we wait for people to join us in the room, I will start reading some of the questions off the pad. So we had the first question about the music that we played during the lunch break, and it's one of our dear friends Shoshin Grunshangro, a free album Basement Days that I've put the link in the pad, and we've been using Shoshin's music for the last 3 years, I think, and people are so excited. Some people say, "Why is it so noisy in the background?" But it's just because there's one part of the different tracks that sounds like static, and it always gets people. We should probably do something about this, but frankly, it makes me laugh every time. Starting with the first actual question, well, actually, it's a bit of a meme question. For the next Emacs Cons, could we have an EMMS playlist to follow the talks along?
Now that sounds like an excellent idea, but I guess I'm wondering what they mean exactly by that. Is that a shareable playlist that we can pass along and just have people go to a URL and just be able to play that? I think that's an excellent idea. It should be a relatively low bandwidth process.
And it's typically the type of stuff that it was right up our alley. I'm thinking about the ICS file that it produced for all the events that are related to Emacs. You know, the workshop that happened like in Paris or in New York or LA. Like Sasha compiles a list of all the events and when they happen, and then we provide this to everyone. And we could do very much the same with EmacsConf. Like you could have a playlist for EmacsConf 2023, where you get all the talks and perhaps also the Q&A sessions, so that you can relieve the 16 hours of content that we're producing. That'd be great, and that's a great idea, I think.
Absolutely. And if there are any limitations in the Emacs playlist structure that things are missing in the playlist structure, then it would be a great impetus to implement those and extend the playlist structure, because after all, it's Lisp. It really is data and functions all mixed together, so we can do that. It would be very interesting to dive into it and see what's missing. That would be even more informative than what it can do.
Great. All right, moving on to the next question. I like to use music and audiobooks in very different ways. With music, I like shuffling by artist, and with audiobooks, I want to read sequentially and pick the same playlist over a couple of days or weeks. Do you have any tips for using these two opposing media's workflows?
Yes, so I have similar situations where I have very long endurance races that I watch, which I do. All my media consumption is done via EMMS, but I also listen to music. And so there's also a middle in between. There's one end in which you have popular music, these are standalone songs that are typically 3 to 4 minutes long, and they are best consumed in a random, you know, order, because they are designed around, you know, a commercial radio distribution. So I guess I'm dating myself by saying radio, but, you know, all the that. In the middle, there are longer works like musicals and classical, where these are units where they might be very long, but you would have several tracks that you do want to have one after the other, and you want to be able to stop and go to the next track. And then at the very, very other end, you have extremely long format, which is included in a single file, such as an audiobook, a movie, a tutorial that you're watching, or in my case, you know, the 24 hours of Le Mans, just the 24-hour race, which, you know, that's one heck of a file. So that is one of the reasons EMMS has a number of elements, such as the meta playlist mode and multiple playlists. So I would say that they would open a number of playlists in EMMS, generate a number of playlists that have each class of media. So the shorter form songs, the more pop songs, you have on in one playlist, where you can sort, shuffle it, you know, save it, do whatever you want. Then a separate playlist for the long form stuff. Sometimes that playlist will have even only one file in it if it's long enough. Then have a key combination which takes you directly to one playlist or the other. And within the long form playlist, looking at the bookmarking function of EMMS, which is designed around being able to save a particular stopping point or multiple stopping points, bookmarks in the audio, and being able to jump back into that audio. The point to remember about the bookmarking feature is that sometimes it really depends on, you have to have the right backend. Not all backends with replaying, not all types of media work well with a bookmarking function, and, you know, bug reports welcome. But also there are other backends such as MPV, where you can configure it that when you quit playing the song or the media with, you know, cue internally. So sometimes the backend has to continue playing that song. That's what I do in order to, on one hand, switch over. I want to hear, I'm coding, I want to hear some music. I go to my playlist of short songs. Then I'm sitting back and I want to watch a long form something from where I left off. And there I go to the other playlist and use bookmarks or the features of the back end that I'm using.
Okay, thank you for the answer. We have about 7 minutes and we have more questions, so that's great. Moving on to the next one. Is there a way to search a music selection by lyrics? Assuming those lyrics are in the metadata or are available elsewhere, it would be neat to call songs up from the lyrics to the song. Perhaps is this implemented so that you can all aliases, so they can use aliases for the song that you like, defining those aliases or shortcuts either inside or outside EMMS? Okay, so I think you've got two questions. First about the lyrics and then the aliases.
Yeah, so it's effectively not possible to do right now. There's a sense in which it is, but not really. What actually needs to happen? The problem is that the caching system is extremely naive. It's just really a hash that's written to disk. And maybe now with SQLite integration, or just the fact that computers have a lot more speed and space than they used to have, we need to expand the cache to be a lot more greedy and a lot more flexible, so that we can store things such as lyrics in as part of the metadata. There's no reason not to do that. unless your collection would have to be truly enormous in order to slow things down. We wouldn't even need to compress the lyrics in order to store them like that. But that is a goal. So our rewrite of the cache is currently in progress. And the goal is to have a system where you can put any related information, including lyrics, and map that to a particular piece of the media, be it a URL or a, so you could have, in a sense, you could have a URL to a lecture and the metadata associated would be some text, some notes or something else like that.
Right. So that was about the lyrics. I'm not sure how it answers the question about the aliases. I mean, you can still filter what you've mentioned about the cache. I think it's, do we consider the aliases to be anything within the metadata?
No, you're right. That is a separate question. I don't have a great answer for that right now.
Okay, great. Well, we'll put a pin on this and we can return to it. You can return to it at a later stage.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the next question then. I'll just, we'll put a pin on this. All right, next question. Are there plans for managing metadata with online resource backends, i.e. Discogs or Music Brains? What about something like Beats in Emacs or part of EMMS?
Yeah, so that's an active discussion on the mailing list right now. We don't want to replicate what Beats does very, very well in EMMS. We don't want a clunky interface with Beats. We do want some kind of, and so it's hard to tell exactly where to draw that line. So the big answer is yes, absolutely, there is a plan to do that. The details become complicated because, for one thing, the backend, the database that Music Brain uses, AcoustID, I don't remember if AcoustID is the binary or the database, but that's actually for non-commercial use only. So not only do you need to compile a piece of software on your computer as a shim, which is, you know, what you need to do in order to set up Beats to do fingerprinting, but it also crosses this line between completely free software to completely free software interfacing with a non-commercial only service. So a lot of the discussion that's going on now is, what is the contour? Where would it be effective for EMMS to do management, and where not? For one thing, I would love to be able to, one thing that we definitely would love to be able to do is when you hit E on a file and you get all the metadata, to be able to then give a command to say, hey, please to Music Brains and see if you can improve that metadata. Do you have better metadata, more complete metadata to complete that? That is definitely in the pipeline. How to best do it? That's discussion.
Okay, Yoni, we have about 2 minutes until we need to go to the next talk. I'll risk it. One more question and a short answer, if you can. Mm-hmm. Have the developers considered using Emacs customized functionality to persistently store settings when using EMMS setup discover players?
Yes, absolutely. That's another active place, especially with the discover players. How to do it exactly with annoying people and clobbering their own settings, we just need to be very careful about that. Yes, that's in the coming releases. Yeah.
All right, well, Yoni, thank you so much for your time. Feel free to stay in the room. I see that some people have started joining on BBB. If they have more questions, feel free to unmute yourself and ask them live. Yoni, if I could ask you also to perhaps answer the question, I put the link to the pad in the BBB chat. So if you look at the here, I think we're not mirrored on BBB. If you look at the left, you should be able to see the chat and the questions. And if you could just answer the last question, that would be great. For us on the general track, we will be moving to the next talk. And Yonid, do you have any last thing to say in 10 seconds?
Thank you everyone who put together the conference, and thank you to everyone who helps with EMMS.
All right, well, thank you so much, Yonid. We'll probably see you later. Bye-bye.
Wonderful.
And I think we are off air. Thank you so much, Yonid. I need to step out and go take care of the next talk.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. And just to, I forgot to mention, but you can still talk here and everything is still being recorded. So I'll see you
Excellent.
Later. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, hello. Wait, you're still... I cannot hear you yet.
You are currently the only person in this conference.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Excellent.
All right. I just wanted to say hi and thank you. My name is Grant. You helped me contribute to EMMS maybe 2 or 3 years ago. I was trying to do the track tag stuff. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank you for continuing and going through that entire process. I know that one of the things that happens is that people want to contribute, but it's not as slick as GitHub and stuff like that, especially with the copyright assignment. Objectively, it's not that. It's just harder than, you know, what they imagine it might be.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. I think you're doing a wonderful job as a maintainer. I, you know, still hang out on the list and enjoy listening in on the discussion, so.
Yeah, that's it. And especially you to being a project. If you're super duper active, being there long term, people tend to find it easier and to continue contributing to the project if there's a consistency there, if there isn't a churn, if there is a kind of a core group. I guess it's like you think it's constant. Eli Zaretsky and RMS, whatever, on Max mailing list. You know, okay, there are certain people that I think so. So thank you for that. That's very important.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah, I'm. I feel like when I started using EMMS several years ago, it's improved a lot since then. And I notice your focus on helping new users get started quickly. And I think the talk today will help with that too. So.
Yeah, I want to put especially the TLDR, like how to start it, on the link that to the website. Find somehow that we can give money to prepare for that, and this together. Now, question for you: where would you like to see EMMS go? Where do you see it land? What do you feel like this is what we're sorely missing? These things.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I picked it up because I both use it to play my music collection, but also, like, I record my own music, and I wanted to be able to edit my metadata in Emacs because editing metadata elsewhere sucks. And so that's kind of why I got involved with that. And I was like, being able to edit metadata, especially for content that maybe you're creating or because I have a bunch of files of just unlabeled stuff I've recorded on, you know, different recorders, things like that. So that's kind of where I was focusing on it. It's the only media tool that lets me do that. You know, I can play the music back and have quick editing. So I know there was a couple of things we had talked about in terms of maybe improving kind of the user interface for the tag editor, things like that. So I don't have any grand visions for where EMMS should go. I know pretty much all the things I've heard about it already, you can hook up to GNU FM, right? The scrabbling service and all that kind of stuff. I don't really feel like it's missing much, especially being able to choose the backends. It's, I guess, if anything, it's like the interface, like how can it be even more intuitive for users? And I think that, you know, we need more people playing around with it, I guess. Yeah.
Well, yeah, which is because I'm sure there are lots of people playing around with it, arriving at a conclusion, keeping it to themselves and moving on.
Yeah,
which I know that a lot of bits of software put a send a bug report feature in and stuff like that, and no one uses those either. So that's the frictional cost. I think the context switch for people between this doesn't work to actually formulating in words what didn't work. It's that is a very expensive context switch that most people will not.
It is.
Will not do, and we're poorer for that. So, So I think that when we integrate Music Brains and other things like that into now, of course, Music Brains will probably it would be very funny if you pull up your stuff, right, something that you wrote, and you say, "Hey, Music Brains, match this," and it's not there, then it'll probably suggest some wild things.
Yeah,
right?
I've had that.
Yeah, because there are there was a system I was looking at its code for researching stuff for EMMS, and I'm trying to remember what its name. It begins with a J. It's this media player, floss media player. That it's a like a media server that can cast to a television and stuff like that. And I asked it to automatically label things, and the results were horrible. It thought that half of my songs were movies. It thought that JPEGs were songs. It's not a solved problem, I think. So the what I'm thinking with Music Brains and those services is that you hit a button and you get another pane with a suggestion, and you can say, okay, copy this and this and this field over, or reject the suggestion and maybe get another one. So
I like that a lot. That's more like a diff, right? Like you get the diff between the two and you can apply which changes you like. Jellyfin, is that Jellyfin?
Yeah. Jellyfin. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And when that happened, did it clobber all your metadata, or does it just label stuff?
It wrote SQLite thing somewhere inside it, and lead to looking for really your not allow me to do very easily. So I was on one hand it makes me feel we're not the only ones dealing with this, we're not the only ones struggling with this. On the other hand, would it be nice that's a paragon that we can look to and say this is a wonderful way of doing it, let's incorporate as much of that as we can.
Yeah, it's a tricky problem, especially if you're modifying people's media files, you know. So
yeah, I'm also very concerned that for MMS, because I'm old and curmudgeonly essentially in my in the way that I do it. And honestly, I use the MMS browser when I need to debug the MMS browser. I use very simple commands, and I even rarely look at the playlists. That was one of the things, because when I got into originally when my eyesight started going, so I had to rely less and less on GUI interfaces. So that was so to this day, that's how I use MMS.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember running into a browser bug because I think just my age, like I want to be able to tab through, and like that was a huge that changed recently, right? Where you tab and it unfolds in the browser. But yeah, I realized that people use EMMS in so many different ways. Just like any piece of Emacs, there's there's many ways to do it. But appreciate your time. I'm gonna actually put together this Christmas tree behind me. So
wonderful.
Yeah, just wanted to say hi, meet you in person, and or in person. But yeah.
Yeah, so excellent. I appreciate it a lot, and we generated some interest in the way.
Yeah, thank you.
You are currently the only person in this conference.
I'm going to have a look at the questions here. Let's see. So there is, there's a question here. I like what you said about balancing the concern for software freedom with the worry that this might alienate the package user. I wonder if you have advice for other maintainers how to communicate this sort of thing diplomatically. Yes, when you have to deny implementing a feature for a freedom reason, this in fact happens all the time. A recent example of this was a YouTube download, right? The YouTube download feature. At the time that, so stepping back, the request was to have a YouTube download feature integrated strongly into EMMS so that you put in a YouTube URL and you can download the video and play it. And the question isn't really whether you can chain YouTube download or one of those things into your EMMS configuration. You can do whatever you want. But the question is, does EMMS actually integrate with it really, really strongly to the extent where it tells you, oh, you don't have YouTube download installed, please go ahead and install that or whatever. And at the time we checked it, we found out that, you know, the version that we were looking at of the of YouTube download or YTDLP or whatever it was called actually downloaded a good amount of proprietary JavaScript onto your machine and ran it just as if you were going onto the YouTube page, which is not for me to tell people not to do if they want to do that, but it's absolutely for me not to cause to happen on the user's machine without them. You know, one of the, you know, the last thing that I want to do in the world is have a user inside Emacs press a button and have proprietary software get downloaded behind their back and run on their machine. That would be disastrous. So we had to say no. We had to say that's beyond the pale. And in fact, in doing so, some people who were using this system said, actually, I had no idea it was doing this behind my back. I thought it just magically got me the YouTube video without any freedom issues. I'm going to look into it, or I'm going to stop using it. So my advice would be stand firm and just be not preachy. Don't tell people what they need to do. Be very clear about what you stand for and what the project stands for. And so they very clearly know where you stand. And I think that people actually appreciate that more than a political answer, right? That has been my experience. Now, excuse me, taking into account that one or two people will tell you, this is terrible, I'm leaving. This is useless. If you do this, you're free software or whatever, and you just leave. That's going. But some people are ornery. That's necessarily something bad that you did. But that has happened. There are multiple stories because EMS is so old. There are multiple points in which non-free software intersected with EMMS because of multimedia, and we had to go the other direction. And so far, it has served EMMS well. Like the project has died as a result. Of course, can't prove a negative. Don't know where we would be if we had gone down that route. I'm pretty sure we would have a new ELPA, and I think being so quickly integrated with Emacs is a huge benefit to EMMS because it allows people to install it very easily. And those are all the questions that I can see.